It's good to be with you this morning. We honor Pastor Turan and his wife in their absence. And we thank them for this opportunity to stand before you and to share the Word of God. Pastor Turan has been preaching on Save the World. Save the World. And he called me and asked me to talk about evangelism, reaching out. So I would like to say from the onset, everyone should try to reach someone. Everyone should try to reach someone for Christ. And when I thought about sharing, I thought about Matthew 28, 19 and 20, and there Jesus, after he rose, he's arranged to meet the disciples. And there he's telling them that all authority and power in heaven and on earth has been given to me by my Father. Basically, Jesus is saying, I'm in charge. Jesus is saying, I'm in charge up there, and I'm in charge down here. And one of the things I would like to pull out from his verses or his great commission to his disciples is go. All authority, all power has been given to me in heaven and on earth, and now I need you to go. I need you to go making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Go. And he also ends with saying, I'm going to be with you until the end. I'm going to be with you until the end. And I thought, what better way could I share with you about going? So I thought about Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20. And then I thought also, if you will, just turn there and just put your finger there on Luke chapter 5. And we will be looking at verses 15 to 26. And so the overall theme is go. And I want to share with you my experience. And I'll be dating myself, my wife here. Of going on 40 years, we'll be dating ourselves. I'll be dating her with me. That in October 21st, 1985, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Winston Churchill says something that's thought-provoking to me, and he says this, there comes a special moment in everyone's life, a moment for which that person was born. When he seizes it, it is his finest hour. Can I say to you unequivocally that my finest hour was sitting in a revival when I gave my life to Jesus Christ? My finest hour, being an athlete, I pursued medals and trophies, trying to be one of the best in the world. As some of my brothers have achieved some of those goals, that was my goal at that time and sitting in church now. And mind you, I come from a church home, I'll put it that way. My dad was a pastor. My mom was a missionary. and we had, I have 15 other brothers and sisters growing up. So my dad took, be fruitful and multiply, seriously. But that's the environment that I grew up in. And so I knew about church, knew about God, but at that time I had not accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And there's a little Southern saying that says, just because you're in the oven doesn't make you a biscuit. I was around saved people, but I wasn't saved. And to put it as bluntly as I could, as I can, that I was basically minding my own business on my way to hell. Now that's strong. It's strong, but hell is real. And the preacher was making it unequivocally clear that night that as I was sitting there, he was saying things like, you are hopelessly separated from Christ. Romans 6, 23, Ephesians 2, 1, 3, and it's in Colossians as well, 1:21. But you're hopelessly separated from Christ. Now, evidently, I must have heard this scripture, but tonight, that particular night, it was a moving in on me. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, able to judge the hearts, the thoughts, the intents of your heart. And as I sit there, the Spirit of God was working on me. I remember the evangelist's name, Evangelist Bacon, but he was waxing bold and saying, you're hopelessly separated from God. He said, you're spiritually dead in your own sins. Romans 3, 23, 5, 12, Ephesians 2, 1, 5, you're spiritually dead in your own sin. And I was sitting there like, wow, separated from him. And spiritually dead. As if that wasn't enough, he was stating that your relationship with God is hostile to God. You're hostile to God, Romans 5, 10, 8, 7, Colossians 1, 20. Your relationship is hostile to God. You don't even know him. And the very lifestyle that you're living is offensive to him. Mind you, I've been in church, but haven't given my life to him. Then he said something else that kind of hit me hard. He said, if you don't know Christ, you are blinded by Satan. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. And you are held captive to do his will. Man, blinded by him, held captive to do his will. I was thinking, man, I don't think I'm blind, but I was. I didn't think I was held captive, but the truth is, spiritually, I was dead and away from him. He didn't even stop there. He kept going and said, you're powerless to overcome sin's hold on your life. Wow. Ecclesiastes 7:20, John 8:34, Romans 1:28, 32, 5 and 6, 6, 16, Galatians 5, 19, 20. Held captive, man, powerless. No power to break Satan's hold on my life. I'm a wrestler. I know how to get free from somebody that's holding me down. But he was saying that night, Satan's got a grip on you that you cannot break. You're powerless to break his hold on your life. And he showed me a picture of where I was. And the truth was coming strong. And I sat there For the first time in my life since the Spirit of God drawing me. The Bible says you can't get to him unless he draws you. And that night he was drawing me. And for the first time in my life, I love doing this now. Pursuing the Olympics, I'm an Olympic medalist. Right, got all kind of trophies in 6 Hall of Fames. But this time, my hands went up. Not in victory. Have you ever seen that? Yes. Right? But this time, in surrender. Not in victory. As much as I was going low. Going low, saying, God, come in and change me. Come in. Make me your champion. The preacher was saying unequivocally, if you leave this world without Christ, if you leave this world without Christ, you're going to be separated from all of eternity from a God loving you. Loving you and gave his son for you. Now, being an athlete, a successful athlete, I really sense the Spirit of God saying, if you die without me, there's no do-overs. There's no overtime. There's no extra innings. It's just done. And it hit me to, in a sense, in an athletic vernacular, that you lose. Now this, not for a season, not just one match, but you lose for all of eternity. Never really thought of about, couldn't there be such a thing as an eternal loser? But if you leave this world without him, you lose. I think it was Jim Elliot that said, no man is a fool that gives up what he can't keep to get what he can't lose. And that night I went up, gave my life to him. I was pursuing the trophies, the medals, but those were empty. I believe it's Robbie Zacharias that says in his book, can man live without God? In there he said, the sheer winning of accolades does not deliver what we say it will. For it goes from triumphant victory to emptiness because it can never deliver the fulfillment of the spiritual man. Only Jesus Christ. I think it was Arthur Pink that said people are looking inside for something that will deliver them or give them a reason for living when it can only be found in Jesus Christ and him alone. Another great theologian said there's a void in man that cannot be filled by any created thing. I couldn't take the trophies and fix that void. I couldn't take messed up relationships and fix that void. There was a void in our life that can only be filled by one thing, and that's Jesus Christ alone. Only one thing. Jesus Christ, that song was saying nothing else matters. If I don't have you, nothing else matters, Jesus, unless you are at the center. Nothing else matters. And that was my life. And as I gave my life to Christ, I sensed just the Spirit of God just impressing on me as I was reading Scripture, saying, Nate, I need you to change your training ground. I'm training 8 hours a day trying to make an Olympic team. He said, I need you to change your, my wife said 10 hours. I need you to change your training ground. And then I begin to train with him in prayer. Listen to the preacher. Go back home. Spend time. And my life begins to change. It began to change. And I can say, God, transform me. Move me from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of light. In him I found redemption and forgiveness of sins. In him he made me a new creation. And then my life was unraveling and I became a new person. And I'm glad my wife is here, because when you're married, the person you're married to really knows you. And I can say unequivocally, the power of God came in and changed my life so that my wife got a new husband. My children got a new father. My friends got a new friend. I was coaching at the time. My athletes got a new coach. And the Spirit of God so overwhelmed me that I began to share. I began to share the gospel because I couldn't keep it in. I don't know about you, but God wants you to go and share. He wants you to tell your loved ones what Jesus Christ has done for you. And I couldn't think of a better example than these verses in Luke. I'll start at the 17th verse, chapter 5 of Luke. It says, on one of those days, while he was teaching, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea, and also from Jerusalem, and the Lord's power to heal was in him. Verse 18, just then some men came carrying on a stretcher a man who was paralyzed. They tried to bring him in and set him down before him. Since they could not find a way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on the stretcher through the roof tiles into the middle of the crowd before Jesus. Now you have to like that. If I could stop right there for a minute, you have to like these guys. And would be to God that we would be friends like that. God has loved us, and he wants us to love our fellow friends, and he wants us to reach out and win the world. Wouldn't it be God to God that we would be those type of friends that say, I'm willing to get uncomfortable because I love you. I'm willing to get uncomfortable because I want to get you to Jesus. I'm willing to be uncomfortable because I want to introduce you to the Savior. In my vernacular, I'm definitely saying these guys have a champion's attitude. We love our friends so much that we will not let anything stop us from getting him what he needs. Wow. Take that. What are you doing to get your friends to Jesus? What are you doing to introduce them to Jesus? Let that ring in your heart. What are you doing? Then it says, then the scribes and the Pharisees begin to reason. Or Jesus said to them after that, seeing their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. Now that's where it kind of goes a little different here. You have to look at it that this guy can't walk, and this is what Jesus said. But if you were to look a little bit deeper, Jesus is saying, just from what I saw, you carrying this brother here, You getting on the roof because you couldn't get past the crowd. You tore off the roof and you let your friend down in front of me. Jesus is saying, listen, that's some real faith. That's some real faith. Seeing their faith, because Jesus saw that this type of faith produced an action that tore down the roof, opened the hole up, and let the man down to get to him. The others are missing it because they're looking at his legs. And Jesus said, friends, your sins are forgiven you. Their assumption was that Jesus, this man is blaspheming. Right? He goes on, it says, but perceiving their thoughts, Jesus replied, why are you reasoning this in your hearts, which is easier to say, to your sins are forgiven you, or to say, get up and walk. Basically, Jesus, their assumption was right that only God can forgive sins. That was the right assumption. The conclusion was that Jesus was doing just what they said, that he is equal to God because he is God. And unlike us, always looking more at the physical, Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Because Jesus was taking care of the spiritual need as well. But Jesus waxes bold. Jesus said, I am the Son of Man. And not only will I show you that I have the power to forgive sins, but get up and walk. Now, no man could even do that. No human man could do that. Jesus is saying unequivocally, I am the Son of God. I'm the Son of God. And because I'm the Son of God, I went first over into the spiritual realm and forgave him of his sins. Then, because of my divine authority, I could go in the physical and then heal his legs. Jesus can heal the inside. Jesus can heal the outside. And then he told this man, your sins are forgiven. Get up and walk. But so you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he told him, get up, take your stretcher, go home. Is Jesus awesome or what? You see, we get stuck on the physical. That's what that crowd was saying. Did you see this man, Jesus? He can walk. But Jesus just skipped over that. That's not the most important thing. The most important thing is that you get eternal life. The most important thing is that you get born again, that you get a new life with me. I've come. I'm here. I've come to save. I come to heal. So when you look at the outside, what if this man just gets healed? So he's healed, but still on his way to hell. Walking, but on his way to hell. Can I say to you right now, some friends are around you, some loved ones are around you. I know they're walking, but where are they going? And Jesus is showing us. That's why he's saying, go. Go. I want you to consistently be telling people that I came, that I've saved you, that I transformed your life. I've come to deliver them. I've come to set them free. Go. Consistently be telling somebody about Jesus Christ. Tell somebody about him. I like it. That's why I like sharing my story, how he transformed me. How I can look in my wife's eyes and not blink and say I'm born again. And you know what? She's seen the changes that God can make in a man. And then I've seen the changes that God can make in a wife. And God had to show me when I gave my life to him how to be a father, how to be a husband, how to encourage others. God showed me that and he changed my life. So when I look at this man in our story, how awesome is God to give you what you need? How awesome is it for God to give you what you need, even though you were separated, blind, held captive by the enemy, but he set you free. He broke the chains that bind you. Nothing, no one can do that. No one. Pro athletes got all kind of money, miserable. Right? It's not about that. It's not about that. It's what Jesus Christ, he gives you a reason to live. And the Bible is his playbook. The acrostics for Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. In the athletic realm, we often say no strategy, no victory. There can be no win without Jesus Christ. There can be no win in your life without believing and trusting in the Word of God. And so he says go, but he changes this man's life. So I like the friends because they're real. Willing to get uncomfortable. And Jesus shows them, yeah, I'm God. Colossians says how Jesus is God, and he literally holds all things together. Yet he's the Son of Man. He can be thirsty at one hand and then tell the waters to cool down. Jesus, the God-man, showing up, changing lives. And in Matthew 28, he's telling us, now I need you to go. I need you to go. So he tells this man, after he changes his life, he speaks to him, immediately his legs are healed. Jesus doesn't tell him to follow him. Jesus said, pick up your mat and go. Jesus does not waste words. The mat represents his changed life. The mat represents what used to carry me, now I'm carrying. The mat says, that's my story. You don't know I couldn't walk, but Jesus, oh, he touched my insides first. He forgave me, he cleansed me, he washed me, he made me whole. And then he healed my legs. But I'll never forget what he done on the inside of me. Made me brand new. And so, what's your mat? Now, in my case, it really is a mat. Because I wrestle. But what is your mat? What is your story? It says in the text that they were in awe, in wonderment. Man, who can do this? So they are in awe. I can't help but to think that this brother would look and tell people, you don't know what it does for me. Every time his family would look at the mat, it reminds them of what God has done. Jesus said, take up your story. How did I transform you? Take it up, and I need you to share because the world around you is dying. I need you to tell somebody what I've done for you. Tell them how when I came in, the burden was lifted. Tell them how in your secret time of praying that you were so overwhelmed by God that you said to yourself, this is why I live, that I might praise you, that I might bring glory to you. Simply go. Tell them what puts you in awe. Simply go and tell your story. The Word of God is just so powerful. We don't save people. Jesus does that. Amen. Literally, since I've given my life to Jesus Christ, I just like it. Can I make you a trophy of my grace? This is how I was. This is how I am now because of Jesus. If you would, an infomercial. The messed up, now this part. Look what he's done. Would you let him use you? I always say the Holy Spirit is the after preacher. It brings life to the Word of God. And as you sit here, the Holy Spirit is already putting on your heart who to talk to. He's already putting on your heart that somebody that's close to you is dying, but you said nothing. He's steering us that way. That's why he wants us to take that message. Take that message. Pick up your mat. Pick up your story. Pick it up. There's somebody near you that wants to touch you like the hem of God's garment. Jesus wants you to speak a word. He wants you to give the message to him. Perhaps if you're watching online and you seeing the things that the hole that you're in, as I went through at the beginning, and perhaps you say, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. Right there as you watch and hear in this room, if you don't know Jesus Christ, I want to give you that opportunity. No man is a fool that gives up what he can't keep to get what he can't lose. So as you sit there, would you say these words after me, all heads bowed? Lord Jesus, I need you. I realize I'm a sinner and I can't save myself. I need your forgiveness. I believe that you love me so much that you died on the cross for my sin. And rose from the dead. Say with me from your heart through your mouth, I repent of my sins and I put my faith in you as Savior and Lord. Say with me, Lord, make me your champion. Take control of my life. Help me to follow you in obedience. Oh, how wonderful it is if you've given your life to Christ to say, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. While I was yet a sinner, you died for me. And I thank you. So when you go from this place, Philippians 2, 12, 13 just says, God is working in you to do, right? He's always nudging and staring or arousing you to do things that bring glory to him. But we often give a cold shoulder to the staring. I was talking to some people from the first services. Yeah, the place where I'm in is just, man, it's messed up. But he said, sometimes I get nervous. I don't say nothing. I said, but God is nudging you. He's arousing you. He's stirring you to do that which brings him glory. So as only the Holy Spirit can do, bring people to your mind to reach out to. I thank God for the opportunity to be the designated play caller. I look at this like a huddle. We're about to break. The way we score is that when the huddle breaks, you move down the field carrying out your assignment. And on the field, it moves you into the end zone. In our case, it moves us into eternity. Who will you take with you? God bless you. God strengthen you. In Jesus' name, amen.